The popularity of quinoa is booming, and we'll find out why this hour and how we can incorporate this superfood into our diets. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, January 17th. If you have never even heard of quinoa, or maybe you've become one of its many fans, we hope you will join in with your questions and your discoveries, and we'll share some ideas beyond the side dish, like the quinoa breakfast dish that I made this morning using a recipe in the book, Quinoa Revolution. I'll deliver my review in just a bit. How do you like your quinoa? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Carolyn Hemming. She is co-author of Quinoa Revolution, over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes in under 500 calories. She's also the co-author of Quinoa 365, the everyday superfood. She co-wrote these books with her sister, Patricia Green. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
It's great to have you with us. I really liked my hot cinnamon zucchini breakfast. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Yeah, that was... I've never had quinoa for breakfast before, and I never even thought to have it for breakfast. It's you do this often.
Right, and if you can throw in some vegetables, like some zucchini, hey, why not?
Yeah, so let's do a little quinoa 101 start off with. What is quinoa?
So quinoa, like you say, it's becoming very popular. It's a really tasty food, and a lot of people are being introduced to it for that reason, its uniqueness and its taste. But in addition to that, it happens to be a superfood, and it happens to have amazing nutritional profile and amazing superfood properties for the body.
Now tell us why it's considered a superfood.
So considered a superfood means that beyond the basic nutrition that it can provide, it can also help to prevent illness and disease. So that's an important distinction. Not everything can be a superfood. So on top of being a superfood, it's also gluten-free. And that's important for a lot of people today with food allergies or gluten intolerances. And quinoa is also a complete protein, which is another great thing because you don't have to make it or mix it with other things, eat it with other things in order to benefit from the protein nutrition in it.
And it's not, I always thought it was a grain. It's not really a grain.
Right. A lot of these new ancient grains that we're starting to see are called a grain when, in fact, they may be seeds. And quinoa is, in fact, from a broadleaf plant, and it is a seed, and technically you could even call it a fruit for that reason. So, but it's called a grain for culinary reasons. It resembles a grain, and so that's what it is called.
Okay, so if I call it a grain, that's okay.
Right, right.
But technically, it is the seed of the quinoa plant.
It is. That's right. It's a broadleaf plant. Grows the stalks about 5 to 6 feet tall, and it is a broadleaf plant. So, fruit or a seed, technically.
And where is it grown?
Primarily in South America. That is where, for the last 5,000 years, it has been perfected, and they've grown it there for so long that it is just the ideal conditions, the ideal climate. The actual plant really was something that was burned by the Spanish conquistadors when they went to destroy the Incas, and they were very threatened. They saw that quinoa made the Incas very strong. It made them very solid warriors. They could go for days just eating quinoa. And Spanish, very threatened by this, burned all their crops, told them that there would be no more quinoa, and anyone caught with it, would be killed. So thanks to some brave souls who took some seeds and, put them in their pockets and went far, far into the mountains, planted them, this crop still thrives today because of that. And this seed grew. It learned how to be very hardy on its own, very dependable, growing in, fairly poor conditions at high altitudes, cold, drought-like conditions in the soil. And this plant has just genetically become really tough. And so now we've got it today, which is a complete blessing.
Yeah, I should spell quinoa. We have listeners who are saying, what? So it is Q-U-I-N-O-A. Q-U-I-N-O-A.
Right. It looks like quinoa. As long as you're eating it, doesn't matter how you say it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what I used was a white quinoa, but there are other kinds.
Yeah, you can get creative. I mean, there's white quinoa. Sometimes it's also called golden quinoa, but you can buy black quinoa, and you can buy red quinoa. You can buy flakes, quinoa flakes. It's kind of like an oatmeal flake. And you can get quinoa flour, which provides, you know, a whole realm of different applications for recipes.
I've only done the seeds, and not flakes or flour. That's if you're new to it, that's what you recommend?
If you're new to it, sure. But the seeds are a great place to start. And, you know, you can do so much with the seeds themselves. You can even bake a beautiful chocolate cake with quinoa seeds cooked. So you're not limited to any applications by any means if you just choose to use the seeds.
Are there different properties to red, white, or black?
Very slim. There's almost no difference in the nutritional profile between the colors. Ancient Incas would say that the black is better for your liver and certain properties like that. But for the most part, the nutritional profile is the same.
Yeah. I really loved my hot cinnamon zucchini breakfast, which, just for listeners, it was quinoa with some grated zucchini that you add a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of cinnamon, and maple syrup to it.
Right.
And then you can cover it with the chopped nuts or pecans, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was really, really good. That syrup, I think, might have, it made it, you know, sweet enough, really gave it sort of that breakfast flavor too. But it also covered up, I've noticed a slightly bitter flavor to quinoa sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that common? Why is that?
Some people notice that. Some people don't. What happens is when the plant grows naturally, it's got a saponin coating, which is this soapy kind of coating on the seed. And this is part of the plant's actual natural defense mechanism. So it means that the crop can be really hardy without being subject to eaten by birds and pests. And so it's got this natural saponin coating. Now, when the seeds are actually brought in from the field and they're winnowed and washed, usually most of that bitter flavor, that's the saponin, is washed off. And these days, the quinoa seeds are washed so many times that, you know, it's maybe a specific brand, or if you buy it bulk or direct from a farmer, that you'll have more of that bitter taste. But again, just with some washing at home in the kitchen sink, running water in a strainer, you can help to get rid of the rest of that bitter flavor.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's not usually. It was when I bought a package that was sort of a, I think it might have been a little bit of a processed, where it was, you know, here, this is a quinoa peel off, and it just didn't, it had a slightly off taste to me, and I prefer doing it by myself rather than having some company do it for me, I think.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good call.
But in any case, how did you and your sister become so interested in quinoa?
Well, I guess I have a fairly bossy older sister, and lucky enough for me, you know, I was very busy with my business career, and I was on the go, and I was training for marathons, and my sister really pressured me, you know, you've got to try quinoa. This is something you've got to incorporate into your day. I know you're really busy, but it's easy. It's quick. You need it. It's going to help you. And it took a lot of coaxing, but once I actually did make the step and try quinoa, I thought, wow, how come I haven't been doing this? You know, it's just as fast as grabbing a yogurt out of the fridge. Why am I not doing it? So it quickly became part of our lives, and we were finding ways to incorporate quinoa into pretty much what we were already eating so that we could beef up the nutrition but still enjoy the same flavors that we were used to eating.
Yeah, and you got your kids involved in this, didn't you?
Yeah, my sister's got two great recipe testers, and they really help to be honest, really. I mean, kids are really that way, right? You feed them something, they'll let you know if it's good or not. So they've been a great help, and I weaned my baby on quinoa and breast milk. So, it's great for weaning babies. It's very high in histidine.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it's high in histidine, which is the essential amino acid for human growth and development. So if you can get it into your kids, it's fabulous.
I think I hear somebody fussing a little bit in the background. Is that one of your children?
Oh, it could be.
But you say you wean them, so you make like your own little, you made a, like a baby food with breast milk and quinoa?
I did. So I just cooked up the white quinoa and pureed it in a blender and just combined it with a bit of breast milk and put it in a bowl with a spoon. And, you know, first spoonful, she kind of smelt it. The second one, third one, she was pulling the spoon into her mouth. So, and that was around 5 months. So she, you know, I thought, well, if she's going to take it, great. You know, it's a great food. The ancient Incas used to wean their babies on it. I don't know if it was the same way, but they weaned their babies on quinoa. And they had very low infant mortality, and they had very low incidence of illness in their children.
And was it you or your sister that made the banana pudding with quinoa?
Banana pudding. Let me try and remember that one.
Oh, maybe it was your sister then.
Yeah, that was mine. That was mine. Yeah, the creamy banana breakfast pudding. That is delicious. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like that would something that kids would just adore to have something like that.
It is, because when you cook up the quinoa, you make it nice and fluffy, and then you puree it in a blender. You can get it so smooth that even the most discerning child cannot pick out that there were seeds there, because it makes a smooth mixture. So that consistency of pudding really appeals to children. And sure, you put in the quinoa, some bananas, some cinnamon, and some milk, and yeah, you've got a great food, and they don't know that they're eating superfood of the ancient Incas.
one of the recipes I almost tried this morning, and I get up very, very early in the morning, and I just said, well, which one of these breakfast things will I make? I almost made the chocolate breakfast, because why not have chocolate quinoa for breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Why not? You're getting all that nutrition, and especially beneficial if you have a picky eater at home, and you know, you want to get that nutrition into them. It's an easy way to do it.
Yeah. So do your kids ask for quinoa for breakfast nowadays, or for any meal for that matter?
You know, it's funny because my little one, she's not quite two, so she's not right there yet. But my sister's girls, who are older, they're in middle school. They, you know, there was a point where Patricia and I were so busy on the road promoting our books that, you know, she came home and the girls were saying, "Mom, we haven't had quinoa. Let's make some quinoa. You know, it's been us and Dad. We've been, you know, not eating enough." So that was really a surprise for my sister. I think she kind of laughed and thought, wow, okay, it's just become that much of a necessary component in the household.
You know, I didn't hear of quinoa until maybe it was only about 2 years ago, I think. I talked to somebody who said, hey, this is one of 10 foods you have to try. This is, you know, it's like, because it's so healthy for you, because it is a super food. And but now, today, how popular is it?
Well, the popularity is increasing very rapidly. In 2011, for example, the quinoa market rose 40%.
Wow.
It's really expanding, and it has to do with the versatility of it and the fact that it's got all the nutrients. So it's becoming popular so quickly, especially with the rise of things like vegetarianism, and the gluten-free market as well is jumping rapidly. So quinoa sort of fits into all those pockets, and it's just the market is just becoming more and more great. And I think, too, people are seeing, you know, a lot of family members and friends that are affected by illness, the disease, and a lot of times the naturopaths will recommend quinoa because it supports alkalinity in the body, which means it helps to push out free radicals and toxins and you know, so help the body purify. So it's great for people coming off cancer treatment or other medical treatments. And I think so people are naturally becoming more and more aware of quinoa, and the popularity is just skyrocketing.
There was a story that was just in the news yesterday. It was actually in The Guardian in the UK, and it was about, in a way, it was about the concerns that in Bolivia, where much of this is harvested, they can't afford, or at least poor Bolivians can no longer afford the grain because of the rising demand and the higher prices.
It's funny how there's a few of those stories out there, and it's funny when you actually look for their sources, they don't have any. And I've actually tried myself to contact the journalists and find out if they've traveled there or how they support their stories, and all they say is, it's real. But they will never reveal their sources, which is quite interesting. My sister Patricia has been to Bolivia. We, you know, decided that this was going to be part of our lives. We needed to know if these issues were real. And in fact, it almost is a gross misunderstanding. We don't know where these stories are coming from. Bolivians are thriving because of the quinoa that is being sold in North America. They are thriving. It is really changing their lives, improving their conditions. How they live is just becoming that much better. They actually are making money, which for the first time means that their kids, for instance, don't have to go off to the cities and leave the family unit to find work, but now they can stay and farm because farming is profitable. There's a documentary, a gentleman who does documentaries, Stefan Jeremiah, and he has actually, the NPR did a similar story in last year, and he went down to Bolivia to see if he could find evidence of this. And he did write them an open letter saying, I cannot find evidence to support this. The Bolivians are thriving. They are still eating it. He could not find a Bolivian who was not still eating it. He also noticed that, you know, they've had so much money now that they can buy other things. Maybe they could not afford pasta before. Now they have money, so they want to try pasta. They want to try these other foods. And really, we don't understand it, but culturally there, quinoa was kind of seen as an inferior food. One South American city boy said to me, oh, we only eat quinoa when we go camping. You know, North Americans really like it that much. And really, that sort of tells you how they've got this social stigma with quinoa. They still, you know, it was such a food of the poor for so long that now the craze is there. Well, they haven't really, other than eating it out of necessity, it hasn't been a desirable food for them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, the headline, Ethical Consumers Should Be Aware Poor Bolivians Can No Longer Afford Their Staple Grain Due to Western Demand and Rising Prices.
Right, and economically, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it also does. What are you supposed to do, not buy it then?
Right, it completely doesn't make sense. And that's why I think, I was reading even last night, I was reading a blog where somebody has, you know, talked about this story, and the number of just public outcry, the number of responses of people saying the story doesn't make sense, it's not substantiated, economically it doesn't even make sense. How can this be true? And they're right to question it because it really doesn't have a lot of solid basis. And we need to keep that in mind when we read these things. You wonder, are there large, you know, grain corporations that are threatened? Quinoa is such a profitable industry. There are grain companies that, are they threatened by quinoa? Are they trying to kick it out of the market to get their market share back? Are these lobby groups creating silly stories? We don't know because, as I said, when you go back to each one of these stories, whether it be the New York Times or the NPR or the Guardian, they can't substantiate it. It's almost like one of those internet stories that someone, you know, low on the journalist totem pole decides they're going to write another story about it. And they go and just sort of take the information from another internet written article when there really is no proof and none of them have been there to see it themselves.
I am so glad that I asked. And you can ask a question, too, about quinoa, if you would like, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about quinoa with the co-author of Quinoa Revolution, over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes under 500 calories. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay with us hope you also join us tomorrow at this time, every Friday from 8 until 9. It's the Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different viewpoints talking about the top state, national, and international news stories of the week. The Week in Review tomorrow at this time. Right now, we are talking with Carolyn Hemming. She is co-author of Quinoa Revolution. Over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes under 500 calories. We're talking about why quinoa is considered a superfood and how you can and why you would want to incorporate it into your cooking and your diet. And let's take some calls. Jennifer in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I was first introduced to quinoa out at Zion National Park in their restaurant lodge. They had a wonderful entree. I had never tried it before. It was the most delicious thing I've ever eaten. So I came right home and bought a bag of quinoa. I fixed it as it was directed on the package. They're like a little pearl, the kind that I got must have been the white, and it did not taste good. So I figured I must have done something wrong. I fixed it kind of like a rice, like a side dish. So I'm going to get the cookbook, but I also want to know, what's the shelf life of my bag of quinoa? I don't want to throw it away if it's got a long shelf life.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think sometimes we can buy product that maybe has been sitting in the store for too long. And different products can taste slightly different as well, I guess, depending on the washing. In terms of taste, would you say rancid, or was it a bitterness?
I think it was more bland and maybe slightly bitter. It wasn't rancid. I just figured that there's got to be better ways to fix it than what was on the package, which was a very plain recipe.
Was right. It just using water or some sort of broth, Jennifer?
I believe it was with water, because I was thinking afterwards maybe I should have used broth, which is, I think, what this restaurant did at the lodge, because I remember it had like a chicken, perhaps a chicken flavor to it.
Yeah, you know, the quinoa, you really can make it in other liquids as well. So if you've got, maybe you've got a little bit more of a sophisticated palate, or you tried a fabulous recipe, and so you know, you'd like to sort of recreate something spectacular, and you really can cook it in other things than water, and it will change the flavor. For example, the broth idea, cooking it in a vegetable broth or a chicken broth, or things like coconut milk or juices as well.
Yeah,
and they can help to change the flavor. And there's all kinds of amazing recipes that you can add quinoa to that it will take on the flavor. You can even put it, just throw it into your soup or into your chili, you know, to get that quinoa benefit, but to sort of work it into your current menu items.
Yeah, and is there, in terms of shelf life, can you have it a certain amount of time?
Well, you'd want to use it, you know, within 6 to 8 months if it's on your shelf. I mean, if you keep it in a sealed container, dark, dry area, maybe even longer.
You know, when I made quinoa the very first time, someone told me that the amount of water asked for on the package of quinoa typically was too much, and that to use less water than that, otherwise you had kind of soupy quinoa. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think cooking time is really key, and it really depends on your personal preference. Some people like to have it with a little bit more of a crunch or a little bit more bite. Some people like their pasta al dente. Some people like it cooked longer, and quinoa is no different. So if you've got that extra water in the pot when you're done cooking, it needs a little bit more cooking time.
Because there
shouldn't be water in the pot. But if you like it with a little bit of crunch, you might want to add a little bit less water, or cook it a little bit less so that it is not as fluffy. If you like it fluffier, again, you can keep that water in there and cook it a little longer, and it'll be fluffier. So it's really on that whole continuum of preference.
Well, I'm sorry that Jennifer dropped, but are there any other common mistakes that we should avoid when we make quinoa?
I think cooking time is probably the biggest one that people say. You know, they've got water in the pot. That's a really common one. And again, it's just extending the cooking time a bit. And even just leaving the lid on, sometimes people are taking the lid off when they're cooking it. And when you've got that quinoa simmering, just leave the lid on and it will absorb that liquid.
Yeah. I love the idea of just tossing that into soup or chili. I mean, it's just, that would be so simple and tasty too.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that one time I noticed kind of a bitter taste to quinoa. Otherwise, I think it just tastes, like you said, it tastes maybe a little nutty.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it tastes to you?
Yeah, it's often called that. The flavor is referred to as nutty flavor. It's really got a neutral, mild, nutty flavor, and it does really complement a lot of other flavors. So you can really combine it with so many things.
Now, we touched this on this, but Rick and Marinette wants to know, is there a chemical I have to worry about rinsing off of the quinoa grains? How do I properly rinse my quinoa before I cook with it? And how do I know if it's clean?
Yeah, well, the quinoa that you're buying in North America in your grocery store has been washed. So there's no chemical that anyone needs to be cautious or concerned about. Nothing bad for us by any means. So if there's any of those concerns, people completely don't need to think about that. I never have washed my quinoa, and I know my sister doesn't either. So unless you're really particular about tasting slight bitterness, you don't need to wash it. But if you'd like to, you can just throw it in a strainer, run the water in the sink, and just swish the seeds around in the strainer with your hand, and do that for 1 to 2 minutes until you feel satisfied that that all the little seeds have been washed, and you should be good to cook it.
I've noticed the quinoa I've purchased, I think every time I've purchased it, it says organic. Is it all organic?
Yeah, that's a good question. For the most part, it is. And really, that's easy for quinoa because, as I said, it's so hardy. And it doesn't require, not only does it not require genetic modification, it doesn't require a lot of these treatments that we put onto our crops here in North America, because it's naturally just become so genetically complex. It doesn't require pesticides and things of that nature. So for the most part, it is organic.
Let's go back to the phones. Katie in Lake Geneva. Hi, Katie.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I am just enjoying my last slice of quinoa bread.
Oh.
Can't believe how wonderful it was, and it all blends in with the flour. You can't even separate it out, from the flour. It was amazing. Everybody was raving over it. The other thing I want to mention is it's incredibly expensive. At the store, I was looking at the other day, it was $7 for over $7 for like 5 ounces, which comes to over $21 a pound. So I've been looking online, and I found it where you could get it delivered, and it's $4.16 a pound, which is obviously a huge savings. So if people could split it up among friends or family or whatever and get a 35-pound package, it would be maybe people would use it a lot more. Because the price has to come down for us to be able to eat it here that much. It took 2 packages for me to make this bread.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to say, I don't remember it being $7 for a package of quinoa. Really? Katie, that's how much it costs in Lake Geneva?
Yeah, it was 5 ounces.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I just don't remember it being that expensive, but I don't remember exactly what it was when I purchased mine.
Well, it comes in like 3.5 ounce packages, and that's I think $4 around.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, if people really like it, they can get it online wholesale delivered, and it's cheaper. And then the other thing, I guess it's being grown in Canada now. So if it's being grown in Canada, I'm thinking that could potentially become a crop in our own country for people to grow, which would even bring the price down more.
What about that, Carolyn?
Yeah, so quinoa has been grown in the United States. It was first grown in North America. It was first grown in Colorado. So it definitely can be, and they have tried to continually introduce it as an alternative crop in North America. And I think it just takes time and practice and a lot of experimenting to get there because it's used to some conditions that are, fairly specific, being from South America. So that'll take some work and some time. But, you know, in terms of the cost of it, you really have to think about what you're getting, because you could buy rice, for example, but it may be cheaper, but it may be far less nutritionally there. So, like, we could buy cardboard, we could eat cardboard if we chose to, but where is the nutrition really? And if you're cooking quinoa, you'll also know that it cooks up to 3 times its original volume. So it's different from rice. You're getting way more, even though you're getting a smaller bag or using a smaller amount. It will triple or more, depending on how long you actually cook it.
Yeah.
So that's important to know, is you're getting a lot more bang for your buck. You're getting nutrition that is not enriched, that is completely natural, and is completely efficient. There aren't any deficient nutrients there. It's so loaded that it is worth the dollar. And hopefully, as you said, more and more people buy it. That helps to fill the market up a bit more and maybe bring the price down.
And it is so high in protein, as you mentioned. A lot of vegetarians are using it more and more. You don't have to buy meat.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can use it as a lean meat substitute. It's a great non-animal protein source. And again, it contains all the 9 essential amino acids. So it is fabulous for the body. The body uses it readily. You know, your muscles will regenerate. Your body just loves the quinoa.
And I didn't notice. I looked through much of the book, but do you have a quinoa bread recipe?
We don't have an actual bread, a yeast bread, a risen bread recipe in the book.
Mm-hmm.
That's not been something we've seen a huge demand for in terms of recipe development, but I think we're seeing it more and more now with the gluten-free crowd, especially looking for breads that are fluffier and heartier as well. So you'll probably see more of that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Katie. Do you buy, by the way, in bulk? I assume you do, Carolyn, since you use so much of it.
You can buy quite large bags of it at Costco.
Oh, okay.
And so usually when I'm in there, that's where I'll grab it.
Rick in Stoughton is with us now. Hi, Rick.
Hi. I was wondering, we kind of got into a quinoa craze a couple of years ago, but I'm wondering if you've run into instances where people have digestive problems, because my wife, we pretty much stopped eating it again because she would frequently have stomach aches after having quinoa, and I'm wondering if you've run into situations where people have digestive problems with quinoa.
One of the things about quinoa is that it is extremely easy to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot to do with the starch in the quinoa. It is substantially smaller than a potato starch, for instance. I believe it's like 40 times smaller than a potato starch. So it digests extremely easy, and the body uses it very quickly, very readily. So any digestive issues, I would say, I'm not sure if your wife's condition or if she's got any underlying medical issues, that would be something that I would maybe look into, because we have not found that there have been digestive issues caused from quinoa.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rick, for the call. Yeah, I thought it was sort of the opposite for quinoa. We are talking about quinoa, and we're welcoming your questions about this superfood. We wonder if you've discovered it yet, how you like to use your quinoa, if you'd like to know more about its properties, or some ways you might be able to incorporate it into your diet. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I mentioned I made a hot cinnamon zucchini breakfast using quinoa this morning. We'll get some other ideas from our guest about other ways we might use this grain. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn is with you. Kathleen and her guests will be talking about President Obama's plan that he released yesterday to reduce gun violence from some stricter gun controls to other measures. Find out more about that coming up after 9 o'clock. We are talking about quinoa with the co-author of Quinoa Revolution, over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes under 500 calories. Our guest is Carolyn Hemming. She is she co-wrote these books with her sister, Patricia Green. She's also the co-author of Quinoa 365, the everyday superfood. We've talked a little bit about ways we can use quinoa. I mentioned the breakfast, and we talked about puddings and talked about putting quinoa into soups and chilies, and we heard from callers who put it into breads. What are some other ways we may not have thought about using quinoa, Carolyn, that we ought to think about?
Well, for example, you had mentioned earlier, Joy, that you can use it as a substitute for lean meat. And the picture on the cover of the book is a Better Burger, it's called. And it is a fabulous tasting burger. It almost looks like a real burger. It looks like ground beef, but there's no meat in it, and it's red quinoa. So that helps to sort of make it look like meat, I suppose. So there's red quinoa, there is some cheddar, some pecans, some mushrooms, and some herbs. And it is a fabulous tasting burger. That burger, my husband, who is a meat and potatoes boy, he will eat that burger five nights a week. And there's no meat in it. So that's a great way to use it, is in a burger. As well, you can puree up the cooked quinoa seeds, and you can make cake batters, muffins, just tremendous applications. With the flour, you can make beautiful puddings as well, and it really is versatile. There really aren't many limits to what you can make with quinoa, which is, I think, why it will probably have a lot of longevity in the market compared to some of the other ancient grains that we're seeing.
Yeah, we talk about the quinoa seeds that many of us are familiar with. You can buy quinoa flour. What do you do with the quinoa flakes you mentioned?
So the quinoa flakes are, you can use them as you would a breakfast cereal with any other flake, such as an oat, or you can use them, you know, in desserts like crisps and in oatmeal cookies, sort of like recipes. You could use the flakes as a breading for meat or fish. A large number of applications. You can make granola, beautiful granolas or trail mixes.
Oh, yum. And these are becoming more and more available in our regular supermarket. We don't have to go to the specialty store.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Back in, 2009, when my sister and I were voraciously trying to create all kinds of recipes with quinoa, it was tougher to find products like this. But now, quite often, you'll walk into your grocery store and boom, there'll be an end cap featuring quinoa, just because of the demand.
And some people like raw quinoa.
Yeah, there's a lot of raw food eaters out there these days, and you can eat the seeds raw, just give them a crack or roll them with a rolling pin to make sure that seed hull is cracked so that you can digest it and your body can benefit from that nutrition. You can also sprout it. It makes fabulous sprout, germinates within 2 to 4 hours, so you can really have sprouts quickly if that's what you like to eat.
Very neat. Let's take another caller, Judy Ann in Phillips. Hi, Judy Ann.
Hi. I have a ton of allergies. I can't eat rice or legumes, but I've been tempted to try the quinoa because of the protein content, and I'm wondering what plant family it's related to.
What? Spinach and beets, primarily.
Beets? Okay.
Spinach and beets, yeah. So it's very non-allergenic food. That's one of its big claims. So it might be something that you try and find very successfully can eat it.
Well, that's good news.
All right.
Yeah.
Try it, Judy Ann. Glad you called. Robin in Delafield is with us. Hello, Robin.
Hi. I have a question about the glycemic index of quinoa. You were talking about how easily it's digested, which makes me wonder if it spikes blood sugar.
It actually doesn't. It's considered to have a low glycemic index. A cooked cup of quinoa is around the low 50s. So you can be sure. It's actually recommended for diabetics to eat quinoa because it does not cause those blood sugar spikes. And it's also been found in research to help prevent insulin resistance. So
So it is very beneficial for diabetics, helps to stabilize the blood sugar. It's got complex carbohydrates and fiber in it that will help to do that as well.
All right, Robin.
Thank you. One other question. You raised the issue of red quinoa used for your burgers, and I'm wondering if there's any nutritional difference between red quinoa and the plain quinoa.
Did you say nutritional difference?
Yes.
Yeah, no, there is not. There's no real nutritional difference. It's all the same great nutrition.
And the black quinoa as well is no difference. Is there?
Right.
What do I want to do with the black quinoa?
The black quinoa you can use in recipes where you might use a red quinoa if you want to make a dish look really unique or fabulous or interesting for guests. For example, you might want to use red or black. They've got a little bit slight different texture in that they have a little bit more crunch. Maybe don't cook up quite as fluffy as a white or a golden quinoa. But you can use them in almost the same recipes.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Carolyn Hemming. She is co-author of Quinoa Revolution, over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes under 500 calories. If you have a question about quinoa or how to use it, how to cook it, if you have a way you cook it that you'd like to share, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our next caller is Shirley in Luck. Hello, Shirley.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I'm hoping I'm coming in. I had to pull off the road to talk to you. I was going to talk about using your food cooperatives to buy quinoa. We buy ours at we have a co-op that's been in existence in Luck for over 30 years. We buy our quinoa there, and it's not even $3 a pound to buy it bulk. We also buy red quinoa, which is a little over $4 a pound. And so I'm really promoting utilizing food cooperatives to buy quinoa because it's very inexpensive there. And the other thing is I've got a meeting I have to go to, so I'm going to go be really quick here. Some people react to the saponine on the quinoa. I have a very good friend who cannot eat quinoa. She gets violently ill. Even if you rinse it many, many times, there is enough of the saponine on that quinoa that does make her sick. So some people do have stomach problems with quinoa. It's very few people, but it definitely is a reaction. I'm going to get off the phone and listen to you on the radio now, and I love quinoa. It's a great food. Use your food cooperatives.
Thank you. Thank you, Shirley.
Yeah, that's a great idea. The food cooperatives is a fabulous idea. If you have access to resources like that, I would say go for it.
Yeah, and we've talked some about that, but maybe in some cases sapamine, is it called?
The saponin, the natural coating on the... So yeah, maybe some people do have an aversion to it, and...
Yeah, but you were mentioning earlier that for the most part, that's rinsed off the stuff we buy, the seeds anyway.
Right. I think those situations would be fairly unique. The seed is washed. They have such sophisticated washing processes, probably more than any other grain or seed that is actually grown and harvested. The washing processes for quinoa are just extremely complex and thorough. So, yeah, people needn't worry.
Yeah. Next, we'll go to Bill in Kenosha. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, can quinoa be used in brewing, as in ale or beer?
Huh. Yeah, you'll see that it has. I think there are a few quinoa alcohols out there. I think there may be a quinoa beer that's out there now. Definitely has that application. I suppose if there are companies or people out there that have the patience and the time to try it, I see that it's been done.
You're going to try it, Bill?
Well, I might. I'm intent on getting into some home brewing, so I thought I'd look into that also.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Never thought of that. A quinoa beer. Wow.
A lot of the ancient grains, actually, that the Incas ate especially, were used to make some type of fermented beverage or alcohol. So that's not an unusual question at all.
Well, this is a real gold mine for me because one of my well, every year my New Year's resolution is to eat better. and what I like about this too is that I've always, and I also want to take off a few pounds. Why did you were you thinking of so many people wanting to be counting calories that you were this is sort of a diet book?
Not really, but what we're starting to see is sort of this paradigm shift in terms of how people are eating. People are becoming much more critical of the foods that they eat and the companies that make them and where they come from. They want to know more. And I think that's probably a result of a lot of the pressures that we have sort of endured in the last 30 years from highly processed food and food companies. And we're starting to realize that these processed foods are what are making us ill and our families ill, causing disease. And so it's a slow shift, and other people, of course, quicker than others, a slow shift of people deciding that they're going to change how they eat and revolutionize what they eat. And that's part of where we are going with our book, in letting people know that you can revolutionize what you eat by injecting the things that you're already enjoying with a bit of quinoa. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, a great way to start incorporating quinoa and eating better and really revolutionizing your diet, eating better, and maybe avoiding a lot of these illnesses and diseases that a lot of us are becoming faced with.
And the recipes in the book are under 500 calories. And I have noticed on the package, as someone who calorie counts slightly, that quinoa does have a few more calories than, I don't know, than maybe some other grains, but it's because of the protein, I'm assuming.
It is because of the added nutrition. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're not empty calories by any means. Your body will use up to 90% of what you actually put in your mouth, whereas something like white rice, your body may only use 40 or 50% of what you put into your mouth, and the rest is eliminated as waste. So when you think of it that way, your body is using these extra calories. Now, athletes and people trying to lose weight, detox, things like that, have been using quinoa purposely because it actually can help you to lose weight, and it can enhance, the workouts of athletes. We've got some research in Quinoa Revolution. We've worked with two fabulous scientists, Lori Scanlon, who is out of Colorado, and Claire Burnett out of Colorado. They are really the masters and the PhDs in quinoa. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for the experts in North America, they are them. And, you know, really they talk about, in the introduction in our book, they talk about how, for example, quinoa and exercise and quinoa enhances exercise. It can help you get your nutrients faster in improving your muscle recovery, your response times, your energy and your endurance. It actually, because it doesn't contain gluten, it absorbs incredibly fast. The nutrients absorb so fast into your intestine that your body is getting all that nutrition that much faster.
Excellent. So good news.
You can eat it before, after workouts. You can kickstart your metabolism with it. It'll help cleanse the body, curb the appetite.
Sounds great. Let me try to fit in another caller before we're done. Carol in Muscadet. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. One fun use for the black caviar that I've found is to mix it with minced anchovy and present it as a little caviar with lemon twists on it, etc. And I made this for a Democrat Party fundraiser and named it Democrats Caviar. Now, and it was delicious and a big hit. The other thing is that Costco sells Bolivian organic quinoa for 3 pounds of it for, I believe, $7 for the package, $7 or $8.
Well, Katie in Lake Geneva's got to find another source, I guess, for her quinoa. Thank you very much, Carol. We have just a minute to go. Maybe what should I use my quinoa for dinner?
Well, there are many options, of course, depending on your taste preferences. But you know, you could make a stroganoff, or you could make a lasagna where you actually do not include the pasta noodles in the lasagna, but have cooked layers of cooked white quinoa.
I'm going to try as many recipes as I can. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Carolyn Hemming, co-author of Quinoa Revolution. You spell quinoa Q-U-I-N-O-A. Quinoa Revolution, over 150 healthy, great-tasting recipes under 500 calories. We provided a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, which has more information about the book and the spelling of quinoa as well, if you want to check that out. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, to Amanda Magnus, and to Rob Barrett for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.